And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Today, we're in Cool Springs. Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. We're happy to be here, 1935 Mallory Lane, here on the backside of Cool Springs Galleria, next door to Academy Sports. And already, things are hopping. I wonder what could be going on this weekend for people to be here at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits so early on a Friday. Either they've already taken today off, they're already prepping for the weekend, and they're going in late. I don't know. Whatever the reason is, I suspect in the next 4 hours, we're going to see a lot of foot traffic here in Cool Springs at Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. Plus, if you come in here, we've got a registration box, a table over to the right of us. We are right here by the exit door. I'm not sure that's a good idea on a day like today where it's not 70. It actually feels like a little bit like winter, a little bit like it's January. But to the right of where we're set up, we've got a registration table, so you don't have to be present to win. We will announce the name on the air before we get out of here, but you must be present to even have a chance. You have to come in here to Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick is alongside, be here in just a second. Chase McAbabe is already having the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles sequel. It's been a long time since John Hughes and John Candy and Steve Martin starred in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but maybe they're making a part two. I know John Candy is no longer with us. That makes me sad, but Chase has evidently had his adventures trying to get to Kansas City very, very early this morning. It started in Atlanta, and it just went downhill from there. I think any and every flight he had after that was canceled. I guess now he's waiting for a plane several hours from now that's going to take him to St. Louis, and then is going to have him driving or maybe in the back of an 18-wheeler, just like in the movie. Or if he finds a train in St. Louis, he can make his way to Kansas City. There will be live coverage all weekend long from Kansas City, including Chase and Teron. If he ever gets to Kansas City, they will have live coverage from 6 until 8 o'clock tonight, and we are just loaded with Titans and Chiefs coverage this weekend long. And when I mean loaded, if you thought last weekend on Sunday, Saturday, the days are all running out. This is the first Sunday game. Last Saturday, 10 hours of pregame coverage was a lot. Well, you haven't heard anything yet, because this weekend, starting today, is going to be basically a pregame show leading you up to Sunday afternoon's kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium between the Titans and the Chiefs. Speaking of that, we'll talk to Jim Wyatt at 10:15. We'll get the lowdown on maybe some injuries, the mindset of this team as they get prepared for the last time on the field before they hit, the airport, tarmac, and they head to Kansas City in preparation for the AFC Championship game. Willie, what's up?
Well, Darren, it is nice to be here. This is a really exciting show that we're going to have here. You don't often get to do a show before an AFC Championship game where the team in your market is in it. It's been since the 2002 season.
Mm-hmm.
That's going back a ways.
We were doing a night show.
I don't remember exactly where we were.
7 to 10 at night, were we not?
Yes, we were.
I don't know where we were the Friday before.
Were we out somewhere? I would have to
say
we were
out a lot.
Somewhere.
We were out a lot.
Boy, it's going back a ways. But I can remember at the Wild Horse Saloon watching that game.
Yes, I said that yesterday on the air with thousands of people at the Wild Horse. That was fun. All three decks.
That was something. And I know where we're going to be on Sunday, and I'll be doing some coverage after the game with Derek Mason.
You will. At Boombaz.
At Boombaz on the east side. I'm excited. My backyard in the east side, that place has been rocking. I've been seeing some of the videos that some of our staff has been putting together. If you haven't gone over there, if you live on the east side, my goodness, that is the place to be. They're getting all kinds of chants and the wave going. It's a real spacious place. It's got great food. I've been there many, many times with my family. It's
The food is outstanding.
They got huge TV screens to watch the game, so it is going to be one heck of an atmosphere. You just don't, as we said, it's been, 17 years?
2002 season, right?
Yeah.
2002
this
season.
This is the 2019 season. Yeah, 17 years between opportunities like this.
Well, there's
been something.
There's been this spot three times since they've been to Nashville in 20-plus years. So I'll tell you what.
Soak it up.
The good news is we're in a win-win situation. If today's show just goes downhill and it's just eventually is turns into a, well, I can't even say that word, blank show, I'll just start heading down the aisles during breaks and this show will liven up in a hurry. I see a good bourbon section over there to the left of us.
It'll liven up. There's no question.
I don't know if I have a job on Monday,
but
it'll be fun on Friday.
Yeah. They have some options here.
Oh, they have options. Do they ever? And by the way, I was not kidding at the beginning talking about Chase's travels to Kansas City. Anytime I can reference planes, trains, and automobiles,
oh, no.
I do.
Is he on a bus singing the Flintstones
right
now?
Things are bad.
Oh,
things are bad. And I'm bringing this up again because if you are a Titans fan and you are headed to Kansas City via the airport, you need to be checking flights because a lot of things are getting canceled.
It's been some crazy weather. I know that doesn't help.
What do you think the temperature is? One?
I would have begged for
Give him the glove!
I would have begged for one where I was earlier this week.
You would. What was it? Minus 30?
Minus 32.
Okay. You went to Vanderbilt. I did not, so that qualifies you to be smarter than me. I had someone from Canada tell me when we had that conversation on air that when I said Fahrenheit, they said in Canada, is it true that when you get in the negatives, it doesn't matter, it's the same temperature? Minus 34 is minus 34 Fahrenheit Celsius. They were adamant about it. I don't know if that's true or not. Is that true? Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think when you get to minus 40 is what they told me. That the minus 40 Fahrenheit is the same as minus 40 Celsius.
So you have to get to minus 40.
Minus 40.
So yeah. You did not hit that marker.
Yeah, the two, it sort of converges, the lower, but I don't know what how many I don't know people, what the point. What is
how many
the point?
People experience that?
What is the point? It's really freaking cold. Like,
you know,
the people in Edmonton, okay,
we're complaining.
They see this.
Yeah.
They see this from time to time, but they're like, this is ridiculous, man.
Yeah,
If people in Edmonton are complaining,
it's a problem.
But let's put it in this term, okay? If the temperature is 0 degrees, zero degrees Fahrenheit, zero.
Yeah.
That's brutally cold,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Brutal.
We're talking 32
if
degrees below that.
If it was 0 degrees here, everything would be canceled.
Of course.
No snow, just 0 degrees, everything would be canceled.
It's going to be in the 20s in Kansas City, supposedly, right? That's cold.
Supposedly that's pretty cold. 22, which is probably a good sign for the Titans.
Yeah, so that's cold. Zero is really cold. Now imagine 30 degrees below that. So that's like saying, okay, 90 degrees is really hot. Add 30 degrees to that, you're talking 120. That's like, what, 120? That's almost you can't stand out there. So minus 30 is, I mean, I didn't stick around outside long enough to really feel it, but we did walk around the block, you know, walk across the street a couple times just to have your body experience it for 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes, maybe.
I don't know what that proves, but I guess just to
it's just you see, breathe it when you breathe it in.
It hurts to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just was curious. It means look.
So I know that's what I guess the point going back to the travel as a result, because I know this is going on a lot across the country. It's got to be playing.
There's
games
a lot
with,
of bad weather.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, you need to be checking the schedules because things are bad. And I wasn't joking about Chase. He's already done the plane. He's going to do automobile. And before it's all over, there may be a train involved. I'm just saying. It may be a cattle train, but he'll be maybe on a train.
Well,
he's got to get to Kansas City.
Well, if I remember correctly, from planes, trains, and automobiles, the people's train goes through Wichita.
Goes through Wichita. The Des Moines, is it Des Moines?
Is that I don't know.
Is it the one? He goes, that's unless you're a hog or a cattle. People train go through Wichita.
So what route is to where can we find details, or do we need to get Chase on the horn?
He went to Atlanta.
He flew to Atlanta.
He flew to Atlanta
for a connecting flight.
Yep.
Okay. And what happened from there?
Well, that's where everything broke down. Everything.
We had a breakdown.
Yeah. Everything.
So he had
was
to go
canceled.
He had to go the wrong way to get to Kansas City.
Yeah. Everything has been canceled since.
What's the issue? Weather in Atlanta?
No. Other place. Yeah. It's okay. He can't leave there because everything is canceled going that away,
going
the Midwest.
West. Okay.
Okay. So now he has to go to St. Louis and evidently drive.
So he's
St. Louis
flying
is
to St.
later.
Louis.
Yes, later. So he's on a later flight, St. Louis, and then supposedly and I don't know how far St. Louis and Kansas. They're separated by hours, right?
I've done it. It's not that bad.
Is it like Nashville, Memphis? It's pretty far, right?
Yeah, maybe a little further than Nashville.
Yeah, it's
Memphis.
Not close.
I want to say about 4 hours.
Yeah, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh no,
I've heard
straight
it's
shot.
And a half.
Three and a half hours
specifically.
You could probably make it. It's a straight shot. There's not a lot there. The Columbia, Missouri, where University of Missouri is right in between, along the same. What's the interstate? It's the when the Royals and the Cardinals play in the World Series. It was the I-70. You go straight I-70, head west. You'll hit Kansas City.
He's proud of his
town.
The I-70s. It's in the middle of the night. There's nothing on the highway but highway.
Was that Doobie?
Yes, Doobie. When Doobie was giving him the taxi.
Doobie's Taxiola?
The taxi ride to the hotel. Yeah. Or in that case, was it the motel?
It was a motel.
Doors on the outside.
Yeah. Oh, poor Chase.
We are live here at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. This is where we're going to be until 2 o'clock this afternoon. 1935 Mallory Lane here next door to Academy Sports. Stop in here and register to win Predators tickets. You don't have to be present to win, but you have to be present here in Cool Springs Wines and Spirits to sign your info, and then at 2 o'clock we will draw a name. We will come back with Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, who we are. So we tell them, so we tell them.
We've been playing this all week. It is time. It is Friday, the Friday before Sunday's AFC Championship game. It's been 17 years since we've talked about this in this market, and the two of us were talking about it, and this guy was covering it. Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com, in a different capacity. He was the beat writer for the newspaper. Yes, there was a newspaper. There's still a newspaper in town, but the Tennessean, that's where Jim was at the time, and getting ready to head to Oakland for the Raiders and Titans matchup. Now it'll be Kansas City. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well. It's hard to believe how much time has passed. I was a young man when I was back during that day, and I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm still kicking.
Well, the three of us are not exactly young whippersnappers anymore, and the three of us are still kicking it. So, yeah. And the good news is we're in better place than you right now. Currently, for the next 4 hours, we're sitting in a liquor store. So if all hell breaks loose, we're going to be okay.
That's right. It could be worse places to be.
And it'll be easy for us to, you know, do our shopping right after the show in preparation for Sunday. So let's start with this team health-wise. I look around right now, and got to be honest, this time of year, it usually spells trouble, right? You're getting Band-Aids and tape and duct tape and glue, and you're trying to piecemeal everything this time of year when it comes to a football season, if you're playing this late in the season. And dare I say, considering, aren't the Titans in pretty good shape? Is that a fair assessment, or am I off?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely safe to say that, because, you know, Adam Humphries is back and practicing for the first time since, you know, the week leading up to the Colts game when he had the ankle injury, and he looked good and trending toward being available. And Jayon Brown's back on the practice field after missing last week with the shoulder injury. You know, obviously the guys on IR, I think I've had to answer the Malcolm Butler question, you know, probably going on 200 times in the last couple of weeks about whether he's eligible to come back from IR, which, of course, he's not. Cameron Wake's not. Delaney Walker's not. All these guys who are on IR are done for the year, won't be back. But as far as players who are available, Titans are in pretty decent shape, and that's a good sign for this time of year.
There's no doubt about it. And on the other side, Kansas City, man, there's huge question marks about Chris Jones. And if they don't have him, I mean, you know, we don't cover the Chiefs, but we've watched the Chiefs. We've seen the Chiefs come to town earlier this year. We remember Chris Jones in that lineup. He was pretty darn effective. He is one of their best, if not their best player on defense, especially when it comes to the trenches and trying to slow down or stop the run. If he's not in there, man, I think that is a huge check mark or plus for the Titans, don't you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt, because he, you could see him and in that game at Nissan Stadium, just the impact he made, and just he's one of their best players and certainly a disruptive force up front. And there were a lot of questions at the start of this week about his availability. The fact that he has been on the injury report is out the last couple of days in practices is not a bad development for the Titans. I'm curious to see when their report comes out today what it looks like. But, yeah, if he can't play, that's definitely going to be a loss if they'll feel.
I did not feel like we would ever see a running back that I would ever talk in the same breath as Eddie George as long as I was in this business. I just didn't ever expect to do that. And I know his body of work isn't as long as Eddie George was here, but I'll tell you what, Derrick Henry, like I said, I didn't think we would ever see a running back that would wow me and dazzle me and anybody would ever take the place of Eddie George. And I'm not prepared to say he's taken the place of Eddie George, but my goodness, he is pretty darn close. And if he keeps this thing going and this thing rides all the way to Miami, and who knows, I know it's premature, they're not going to say this, but I can say it, and it all ends 3 weeks from now with them winning a Super Bowl, and it's because of him running for about 200 yards every game, he's going to pass everything and everybody. Could you ever imagine seeing a guy take over like Derrick Henry has for this Titans team?
I mean, considering the start of last season, up until about the halfway point of last season, I think a lot of people were talking about him being expendable or whether or not they ought to trade him, and he, or why wasn't he being used more, and, about the halfway point of last year, I don't think anybody could say that they saw this coming. And the end of last season, and then what he's done this season, especially being in the playoffs, has been off the charts. I mean, Eddie was fantastic. Chris Johnson was I loved watching him play and the streak he had with the Titans, especially that 2009 season. I still say that's the best season. I mean, there's no question that's the best season any Titans running back has ever had, from a yardage standpoint, just from an electrifying standpoint. What Derrick Henry is doing, he's doing it in the biggest games out there. First a wild card round, then a divisional playoff game. Now here we are going to the AFC Championship game, and if I'm with you, Darren, that if he, if they win this weekend and figure out a way to keep this season going, and he is the key cog in making that happen. I mean, he's going to be a legend in these parts. I mean, people love him anyway, a lot of people, because of the Alabama connection and a lot of Alabama fans in this area. But, he has been nothing short of spectacular, and he's not showing any signs of slowing down, and they got to figure out a way to keep riding him.
Jim White on the line with us from Titans Online. He's the senior editor, and I hate calling him a senior, but he's been doing this a long time, and that is his title.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment.
In this context.
I hope Jim takes it that way.
I remember I used to see senior attached to people's names, senior writer, this and that, and the first thing I thought of him, this guy is getting old, and so I guess that maybe I need to think of it a different way, maybe more experienced, maybe.
There you go. That's a good word. I have given up trying to say, well, this team is going to eventually have to kick a field goal to win. You can't keep surviving at this level of play this time of year in the NFL without kicking field goals. I've stopped saying, Ryan Tannehill, if he thinks he's going to be able to throw for, you know, less than 100 yards and the Titans are going to win, I've thrown that out. Can you believe that we're sitting here talking about an AFC championship game and Ryan Tannehill hasn't had to throw for 100 yards and the Titans haven't had to kick a field goal in, what, over a month now?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think people, if you just started watching the Titans and people who have just watched them in the playoffs, think that Ryan Tannehill has been some kind of a, you know, game manager, you know, kind of a complimentary piece. And, you know, all of us know that's not the case. I mean, they've won a lot of games this season because of him. I mean, he, you know, threw for, you know, he started 10 games, I think, in six of them. He threw for over 250 yards. He's got several 300-yard passing games and, you know, led the league in passer rating. I mean, he had a great ending of the season, and they just haven't asked him to do a lot in the postseason just because of the way Henry has been running. Now, he had a big impact on this game last week, even though he threw for less than 100. I mean, that touchdown pass to Cleve Raymond was well-timed and on the money. The touchdown pass to Jonnu Smith was, you know, gave him an opportunity to catch it when nobody else could. You know, he had a tough run at the goal line. He's done his part. He just hasn't been asked to do a lot. But if someone would have told me they'd have won these two games with him throwing for less than 100, I'd have said no way. And then the kicking thing, I mean, it's almost become a running joke now. I mean, Mike Vrabel was talking even at the press conference yesterday about how they just practice extra points in practice now. They didn't try to kick practice field goals. But that's a testament to just how good this team's been in the red zone and scoring touchdowns when they get down there. I think that's going to have to happen for this team to keep winning, especially on Sunday.
Jim, did you ever find out the answer specifically of where this ranks? Four consecutive games without trying a field goal?
Yeah, I mean, I have not found that answer. I'm glad you remind me of that, because I need to run that up the flagpole. I mean, it's pretty crazy. You know, this guy's been on the roster since late in the season, still hasn't kicked a field goal. So, you know, I've watched him in practice, and I've watched him in pregame. He's been good. I mean, he just never gets a chance in games. But, I mean, he is, I think it's 15 of 15 on extra points, which are, you know, those extra points are not chip shots anymore. I mean, they're he's proven that he can be accurate, but you know, one of these days you figure he's going to be called in to action and going to need to make a kick.
There's no question, and it's not a reflection on him. You're right, because he has not had to try one, so a lot has to happen for that to be the case. But you think about it, they haven't made a field goal in six games, and I would have to think, Jim, you'd have to go back a long way to the days of the straight-on kickers to where you could potentially get to a Super Bowl making, what is it, how many have they made on the season? Nine? Something like that? I mean, it's a very low number. I mean, that's got to be unprecedented.
Yeah, I can't remember a season that's been like this. And this is the team that has, you know, the running joke used to be that this is, you know, you play for 3 points. That was, you know, Jeff Fisher Bowl, or and any coach that's come along has had to you know, deal with that. I'm looking through the stat sheet now to see if I can locate it real quick just to tell you the exact number. I think it is maybe 8 of 18 off the top of my head. But, I mean, they haven't been very good, and they've gone through a lot of kickers this year. And I think they have found the right guy for it. But, again, the hope is that you don't need him. I mean, it'd be a great life.
You hope when they are asked to need to make a field goal that they can do that. It didn't. The fortunate thing is that the struggles they had early in the season did not cost them a chance to get into the tournament, and now they have completely overcome it. And so we'll look it up on our end as well. But
it's 8 of 18.
Eight of 18. So that's I'd have to believe. Has anybody ever been to the Super Bowl or even to a championship game making that few field goals?
Eight field goals.
You probably have to go back to the 1960s.
19 games.
Yeah, 1 of 6 for Suck Up, 4 of 9 for Santos, 3-3 for Parkey, and then Greg Joseph 0-0. So it's a good. I mean, it's not a problem. I was just, it's a good problem to have. It's not a problem when your kicker's not kicking. I mean, it's a problem when you're missing them. Now 8-18 is not obviously not very good, but the fact that they're scoring so many times in the red zone, scoring touchdowns, just makes life easier on everybody.
Well, and one thing that's come along, Jim, and it doesn't get talked as much because Henry has been such a phenomenon, but the continuity of the offensive line, which, boy, we used to spend a lot of time talking about on our show, and I'm sure we're not the only show that was doing it, but going back to the preseason and the suspension of Taylor Lewan and Nate Davis's absence, it looked like he was missing. Like, where was he? I think the term he was on a milk carton was used for a while. Then all of a sudden, here we go, fast forward to today, you've got five guys that are really clicking, along with the committee at tight end, the emergence of Kari Blassingame. It is really amazing how the guys blocking for Derrick Henry have come together.
There's no doubt. I mean, they've been solid. You know, they've moved the line of scrimmage. I think what's so impressive is that people know what's coming. I mean, people know the Titans are going to run the football, and they're stacking the box, and they're still having success. I mean, this is not, you know, the Houston Astros sneaking around trying to steal signals in a back room and trying to take advantage of that. This is a team that's saying, hey, we're coming right at you. You got to figure out a way to stop us. There's nothing sneaky about it. There's no cheating going on. This is just, hey, we're playing hard-nosed football, and you got to stop us. And it starts with the O-line. You mentioned Blassingame. I think he's been really good. Henry has just been a load. You just can't give him the ball enough. And they just got a mentality that, hey, we're lining up and coming at you, and you got to figure out a way to stop us. And I couldn't resist with the Astros.
I was going to say, that I felt a Dodger blue coming through there with those comments. I felt little Dodgers coming through there. I really did.
Oh, man. That's a whole other story. We'll have to get Jim on the show to not talk football one time.
Hey,
delve into that.
We'll have Matt Beatty on at 12:45 today.
Very nice. Very nice. We'll get his thoughts on this. Oh, boy.
A little radio tease there.
Well, Jim, I want to ask you one more because just the mentality. There's no question that anytime you're playing Patrick Mahomes, it's got to strike fear into you. You know, he's got that air of, you know, I don't know that you can stop this guy. You have to try to slow him down, find a way to scrape your claw and scratch your way into maybe getting a tip ball or a mistake, something, take advantage of. But it's got to scare the Chiefs equally as much of not only what Derrick Henry is doing, but what he has already done to them in previous games, and also that if there's a weakness on the Chiefs, it is their run defense. They have not been a good run-stopping team for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and I think that's, you got to use a formula like you did in the Week 10 matchup to beat them. I mean, I love Patrick Mahomes. He's probably my favorite quarterback going in the NFL right now as far as watching them, you know, outside of this building, guys that are leading the Titans. But, I mean, he's just a fun guy to watch. He can sling it around, throw a, you know, just a missile downfield, hit guys in stride. He keeps plays alive. He's just got such a positive energy to him. But you can beat him because you can play. I mean, he threw for 446 yards and three touchdowns against the Titans and lost back in Week 10. So, I mean, that sounds crazy, but you know, he can have success and you can still win, and that's by running the football and limit his possessions. It's by, you know, making plays on special teams. It's by, you know, having success in the red zone and, again, not kicking field goals, you know, scoring touchdowns and kicking extra points. And you just can't let him keep the momentum going like, you know, like what happened last week with the Texans. I mean, the Texans just imploded and they kept – having short possessions, or they turn the ball over, and it seemed like Patrick Mahomes, you couldn't keep him off the field. And when he does that, you know, he's gonna eat you up. And they got so many weapons where they can score. But if the Titans can run it and control the clock and take advantage of some of the strengths they have and the weaknesses that the Chiefs have, then you can stay in this game and make plays to win it late. And I think for the Titans, that's what you got to figure out a way to do. Patrick, you're not going to shut Patrick Mahomes down, but if you can limit his success and make plays on your own, then you've got a shot to win and go to the Super Bowl.
When are you guys leaving, Jim?
Leaving tomorrow about midday, and I've kind of paid attention to the weather. It looks like it's better by tomorrow. People that are flying into Kansas City today,
not good,
having trouble. Yeah, because I've seen they've shut down all the nonstop flights, direct flights from Nashville to Kansas City. So,
well, we have an update. You know why?
What is the update?
A plane slid off the runway in Kansas City today due to the weather.
Yeah, that's not good.
Is not good.
Better. Yeah, so, I mean, I think Sunday it looks clear and high around 22, 23 degrees, you know, low that night, 6. I mean, I'm expecting wind chills in the teens. And, you know, Titans have played in colder conditions than that there. I've been in colder conditions than that there. So, you know, so you just got to show up and play. And I think the Titans are built to win in this weather. I mean, with Henry and the defense and the momentum that they have over the last several weeks. I mean, I think Titans are in a good position going in, but you have to play well to win.
Are there any birthdays that we need to know about? Derrick Henry did well on his birthday. Corey Davis got a nice touchdown from Derrick Henry on his birthday. Any birthdays on Sunday?
No birthdays on Titans. I've seen on Twitter, you can find anything on Twitter that somebody has thrown out there that is Dolly Parton's birthday on Sunday. So,
okay.
So when Dolly did,
that'll work.
She played, kind of did the intro for the NFL draft. So she's got, okay. You know, she's football-esque. So, hey, you can take what you can get.
That may be a reach, but we'll go for it. That's good. I like it. Jim, remember, Matt Beatty at 12:45. If you're not doing anything, you can hear a little bit about your Dodgers. Thanks for doing this, as always, and enjoy the game on Sunday in Kansas City. Hope we continue talking about this team for the next 2 weeks.
Hope so. Dolly Parton working 9 to 5. The Titans need to work from 2 to 5. That kickoff at 2, that game will be at 5. So work from 2 to 5 on Sunday and get to the Super Bowl.
Folks, you can't get that anywhere else but this show. Jim, thank
stuff,
you
Jim.
As always.
All right. Have a good one.
Jim Wyatt, senior editor, TitansOnline.com. I'm not kidding. A plane slid off the runway in Kansas City. Oh, so that is
that'll
not
slow
good.
Things down.
So in all seriousness,
safety first.
If you are traveling, and a lot of you are today, you need to be checking the flight patterns and schedules to Kansas City, because it does not look good that you're getting out of Nashville via BNA today. All right. We will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back around, Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here in Cool Springs. Cool Springs Wines and Spirit, to be exact, on Mallory Lane, right next door to Academy Sports, if you're familiar with the Cool Springs area. And we are excited to be here. A lot of foot traffic already here in Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We've got a table right to the right of us. We're here near the exit door, but to the right of our broadcast table, we have a table set up for you to register to win tickets to an upcoming Predators game. And all you have to do is come in here, fill out your info, and we will draw a winner's name at the end of the show. Speaking of the Predators, Willie, seems like there's a little news.
There is some news. And remember, the All-Star break is coming up here. And after Saturday's game, they will have 8 days off. So I think this is part of the reason that they are making these moves. They have sent three players to Milwaukee, defenseman Alex Carrier and Jared Tenorti, and forward Yakov Trenin. And I know that is probably going to have some eyebrows raised, sending Trenin down. I would have to believe that part of it is just to get him some games in Milwaukee. I guess if I could put two and two together, this
just
also means that Austin
break.
Watson.
During the break.
Yeah, and Austin Watson would probably come back into the lineup on Saturday. He's been sitting out. I'm sure he's, you know, really, really
chomping,
you know, excited, chomping at the bit, to get back in there. Trenin has played so well, and he is on his way, I think, to being an everyday player. But I guess for this game, if the decision is that somebody has to be the odd man out, you got to get Watson back in. I'm just reading between the lines looking at this, because Trenin has been a big-time positive force on this team, for sure.
What is there?
And I wouldn't doubt that at some point he comes back.
What is there not to say about him? Well, why would anybody think that he wouldn't be back the way he's played? I mean, he has certainly earned his spot on this roster in some capacity, in my opinion. So I'm a little surprised by that. I understand getting work. I mean, they've got 9 days in between games after tomorrow night before they hit the ice again on the 27th against Toronto. But I guess I wonder why not wait till after the game against Buffalo tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know the reasoning behind that, but I guess they're set on who they want to play tomorrow. And just, you know, knocking on wood that nothing happens to anybody between today and tomorrow, they'll roll with that group for the one game.
Tenorti and Carrier,
yeah.
Is that possibly a sign that Ryan Ellis is maybe getting better?
I mean, he's not
playing tomorrow night, but getting maybe on the road, the path to
I think David
back?
Poile. David Poile was pretty open with you guys on the interview. He said, "Hey, it's a concussion, and when there is a concussion,
you never
there
know.
Is a protocol, and you have to take the steps right. And if the steps aren't moving right, if you have any kind of setback, there are strict rules on what has to happen. So." They've made it this far without Ryan Ellis, and they're now 3-3-1 without Ryan Ellis. And I am not, and I know everybody's like, you're making excuses. Well, Ryan Ellis is a critical part of this team. If you told me their record would be 3-3-1, I would not have said, boy, that's bad. You got to do better than that. And at the same time, here we are, extremely frustrated after what happened last night. You really felt like that's a game you got to come home and take care of, and they just didn't have it. Nobody on the roster, with maybe a couple of exceptions, were much of a force last night. So I got my fingers crossed that Ellis and Colton Sissons, who are two kind of engine drivers, leaders, some of those, you know, gritty glue kind of guys, can be ready on the other side after this 9-day break. They desperately need those guys. And as it relates to the forwards, you know, Sissons is a guy that's going to be in the lineup. And that also makes it crowded for some guys.
Well, David said after the break, he said he felt pretty good about Sissons after the break.
So there's another question that you'll have to have if you're John Hines, is who do you take out? Because the role players are not the problem on this team.
Nope.
Right? The role players are doing their job. Colin Blackwell's doing a nice job.
Yep.
Yakov Trenin's doing a nice job. Callie Yarncroke, for the most part, has had a really nice season. But – you know, it's the other guys that have got to
Grimaldi's
be the headliners.
Really
Rocco Grimaldi, yeah. So these are good, tough decisions that they're going to have to make on whether to play Trenin or Watson or Sissons in, who comes out, does Blackwell come out. All of that should take care of itself, and it's tough for those guys. But the headliners have got to start driving this bus, you know. They've got to start driving the bus.
There's 46 games in the books. I mean,
yeah.
At some point, I mean, as Dan Hamm used told us last night in Barrel House in postgame, you know, time's running out. Yeah. Every day, every game. By the way, we're about to close the book on month number four. It's just around the corner. We're going to shut the book on month four of the season. It's like you don't either.
What are you waiting for?
Either you're going to turn it on or you're not. I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for at this point.
Yeah. It's so bizarre how fleeting it can be. I felt really good leaving Winnipeg and heading for Edmonton. You're thinking, okay, a little fresh start, a little tweak in the system. They've taken to it. They executed it. There was all this talk last night in the postgame about confidence. And I was like, well, just 2 games ago, the team seemed pretty confident. They seemed really confident about where the direction was going. And here you go, you know, it took 4 days, and all of a sudden you throw your hands up and get, what happened? You know, I will say, and again, this will be under the umbrella of, are they making excuses? Well, I mean, when you say this, we're trying to analyze what's going on out there. Sometimes when you take a long flight and you come in, it was everybody last night. Everybody was moving in molasses last night. I don't know why that happens. I know it happens to teams sometime during a season. Every team. Nobody's immune to it. And last night was they just couldn't get going. You know, for 60 minutes, I just never saw them really crank it up and get going.
The big concern, Willie.
So I don't know.
Right,
I don't know what's going on.
Is this is happening too much at home? You know, and I know you don't get to dictate.
I know.
When you win and lose, but your home record, and you're supposed to look better at home than on the road. And there's just as I'm seeing, people are leaving earlier and earlier and earlier, and you're hearing those boo birds. I mean, you got to fix things at home. You got to get better at home. You can't have clunkers at home. Like, these people are paying their hard-earned money. They're selling out every game. They are there to get crazy. It's a great atmosphere, and too many times they're leaving with not much – I mean, really nothing to cheer about. It's
right.
It's
the players
gotta
know
be
it.
Frustrating, man.
The players know it, and they it's not like they don't want to do well at home. They're searching
like
for answers
as
well.
The Anaheim Ducks are the worst team in the conference. And you're home on a Thursday night. You've got two games until a long break, and you would think, you know, as we were talking about in pregame, and Hal said, he's like, I said, what are you expecting tonight? He's like, I'm expecting this team to come out there and hit the ice with their hair on fire. And I said, I agree.
And it was the opposite.
And it was just the opposite. Exactly the opposite.
They couldn't execute, couldn't make the play. They would get a 3-on-2, not get a shot. Or they'd have a guy open, they'd make the right pass, the right decision, and the puck would hop over the stick. They could, or, you know, something. Just nothing went right. And Roman Josi had a great quote. You know, they discuss it. They have meetings where, like, yeah, we got to play well for our fans. It's not like they don't want to do it.
Of course not.
So they're...
I'm just saying, I'm getting – it's very concerning
it's
that these,
really hard to
these
figure.
Games like this keep happening at home.
Well,
it's disappointing.
We were discussing this yesterday on the show that, you know, every – once again, over 82 games, Anaheim is going to beat somebody, right? Even though they're not a good road team, right? They're a very poor road team. That was only their seventh road win of the year.
Yep.
And they led – they never trailed.
Never trailed.
In the game. It was relatively easy for a bad team to get the road win against what we think should be a good team. So it's just – it's mystifying. But it's happened too many times at home where they've missed opportunities to get the kind of points that you should get when you're a good team, right? You should take care of the Anaheims way more often than you don't. And there's other things that have happened where they've let games slip away. They've had to settle for 1 point when they should have gotten two. All of these things, and now – they're in the hole they're in. It's not an insurmountable hole, but it, as Dan Hamu said, I think the term is well applied.
You run out of time.
Clock's ticking. Yeah. There's still time.
Of course.
But the slack in the rope is, I mean, the rope is getting tighter.
And it's getting shorter.
It's getting shorter. Yeah.
It's not getting longer. It's getting shorter.
Not getting longer.
Trevor, our resident in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think he's got a good point here.
Right? Trennan and Carrier are both in the AHL All-Star game along with goalie Connor Ingram.
Is that this weekend?
I'm assuming, since he's saying that, is it this weekend? Like I said, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
Dangerous word that it's this weekend. Maybe that's why. Okay, that makes sense. That doesn't sound like a stretch.
Yeah, it's not in the release. I would.
Trevor is usually money with his Milwaukee news. So
he is.
We're going to make him
a regional correspondent.
Trevor, we trust.
Regional correspondent.
Until we are told different. We'll come back and close out hour number one of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
He's built like a linebacker, but runs like the wind.
And there goes Derrick Henry. Henry has got major speed for a big man.
He led the NFL in rushing this season.
He's to the 30. It's a foot race to the end zone. He's to the 20, to the 10, 5, up the right sideline into the end zone. Touchdown, Derrick Henry.
This postseason, he's put the Titans offense on his back.
Nobody in the history of this league has had three straight games of 180 or more, and he just did.
And even has a few tricks up his sleeve.
Now Henry takes a direct snap, throws a little lob pass over the middle, and it's caught by Corey Davis in the back of the end zone. Derrick Henry, the running back, plays quarterback.
And now he has this team one win away from a trip to Super Bowl 54.
It's not just me, it's a team effort. I think, you know, we all playing collectively as an offense, as a whole, and we just locked in.
Derrick Henry, known in these parts as the King.
Anybody got a problem with that? You come see me. We bout that. Big trust. Woo, woo. King Henry. In the flesh.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to continue. entertain him.
Everybody knows that Derrick Henry is coming, and still he's rushing for 5.8 yards a carry in this postseason, and he is killing really good defenses.
Number 22 in two-tone blue, but right now, number one in our hearts.
Let the big dog eat.
What will the king do for an encore Sunday in frigid Kansas City?
We ain't gonna do too much talking. We're just gonna work and believe in each other. That's our mentality.
It's time for the Titans to take everything.
You know what? Why not us?
The best Titans coverage lives.
They get to Henry, the upback, who scores the touchdown.
On ESPN 102.5, The Game.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Well, they may have to take a train to KC. I don't know. Maybe some of you will.
I don't know that you can.
No?
Not the people's train.
Maybe the hog or the cattle train. But that only gets you to Wichita. Or Wichita was the people's train, right? How far is Wichita from KC?
That's a good question.
Because that's the people
I have
train.
Been to Wichita. I've driven through Kansas City. I didn't drive through Wichita to get to Kansas City. I know that. So we got to get our geography. We got to get the map of Kansas out. Of course, Kansas City is right on the border, right? Kansas City,
right.
Missouri, mm-hmm. Missouri and Kansas border. Wichita, I think, is more in the middle of the state, I think.
There is a Twitter site called @NFLResearch. It's legit. We got over 150,000 followers. This is what they tweeted out, Willie. The Titans can become the third team in playoff history to defeat each of the top three seeds in their conference in a single postseason, joining the 2010 Packers and the 2005 Steelers. Both of those teams did what?
Wait, so what are the teams again?
So if they beat Kansas City, right. They will be
the third team
in NFL history in the Super Bowl era to go through the top three seeds
in the conference.
In the conference. The Packers did it in 2010. The Steelers did it in 2005. Was that Big Ben's rookie year?
No. Big Ben's rookie year, they lost to the Patriots.
Oh, that's right. They were 15-1. Yeah, and they lost. You're right. In the AFC Championship game.
They beat both of those teams ended up winning the Super Bowl. Right?
That was the answer I was looking for. Both teams went on to win the Super Bowl.
Big Ben and the Steelers, that was the Jerome Bettis swan song and the Bill Cowher swan song when they beat the Seahawks.
In Detroit.
Beat Matt Hasselbeck and the Seahawks.
That's right.
And then 2010 is with Aaron Rodgers, their only Super Bowl. That was they beat the Steelers. They beat Mike Tomlin's Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger that year in the Super Bowl. So they beat the top three seeds. I didn't realize both of those teams beat the top three seeds. Now, let me throw this at you. We just heard that Derrick Henry, the train is a-running. We've discussed how Derrick Henry, you go back through, you can vividly remember this. Derrick Henry, even though the Titans got behind in the game earlier this year, they were down 10-0 in that game. And they were down in the second half. And they kept giving the ball to Henry. And he got them back in the game. Right? They didn't abandon the running game. So they've run the ball very effectively against the Chiefs. The playoff game 2 years ago at Arrowhead. They got way behind in that game. Derrick Henry still had big yards in that game. And that was before he became the Derrick Henry that we know today. Even, I believe it was his rookie year when they had sort of the 1-2 punch. He was the second guy to DeMarco Murray. They won a game in a really cold afternoon in Kansas City. They ran the ball very effectively. Henry had a good game in that one. So the Chiefs fans know all too well about Derrick Henry. The other problem the Chiefs have, a lot of people run the ball well against the Chiefs, right? Going back to last year. Now, here's the Football Outsiders in their preview. Let me read you what they wrote. Chiefs players and coaches are clinging to a narrative that first-year defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo has turned around a run defense that was the worst in football in 2018, citing the Chiefs' improvement from 148 rushing yards allowed per game in the first 10 weeks of this season to 95 rushing yards allowed per game in the 9 weeks since. But that narrative doesn't hold up under scrutiny. The Chiefs may have made some small efficiency improvements in the second half, but they still finished in the bottom third of teams in both yards per carry and run defense DVOA, which is the metric that Football Outsiders uses. The big improvement they experienced in rushing yards came predominantly from a decline in their opponents' rushing attempts, something for which they can credit their offense as much as their defense. In other words, when the Chiefs build big leads, the other team doesn't try to run the ball. They have to try to throw to get back in the game. So that has masked the Chiefs' weakness. That's a great way to mask your weakness, right? Play to your strengths and just blow the other team away. Their pass defense is considered very good. But you can run the ball against the Chiefs. The Titans have run the ball against the Chiefs. If they can execute the way they've been executing, there is no reason why they can't do what they've been doing offensively.
And at 11:30, we will head to Kansas City. And the big question is, to me, it's the question. Chris Jones, what's his availability? Because that, to me, plays right into what you were just talking about. And it plays in, if he's not available, into the Titans' hands. And even if Chris Jones plays with that calf injury, a big guy like that, how effective will he be? We saw the calf injury to Mark Ingram, how much it affected him in Saturday's loss to the Titans in Baltimore. We come back. Former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock will join us to kick off the second hour. That's next.